Hi, this is Aaron Hart. We're going to keep talking about Barack Obama and whether he's disappointed us or not. He really hasn't disappointed me all that much, let me state. I like Hillary Clinton at state. I do. I like a team of rivals. I do. I can understand why you're trying to reapproach to the other side, even though they've hit you over and over and over again. But you know what? Having been hit over and over again, it would be sort of like me walking up to Rush Limbaugh and going, "Hi, dude, you're my pal." I can't quite do that yet, although I do still speak to James Golden and other people who work for him. I don't know. I just, all right. I need to talk to you about Barack Obama, his first 100 days. What are your hopes? What are your fears? What are your dreams? And we're going to talk about Barack the Magic Negro, which is reappearing its ugly little head. Is Newt Gingrich right that we have to give the president his due and let him, the president-elect, I mean? And isn't it sad to watch George Bush on the campaign trail and people like Condi Rice and his wife going out to try to defend the indefensible? Next thing you know, they'll have Barney going, "Woo, woo, woo, woo," translating. He really is all right. Okay, John, the inevitable happened. My computer just crashed, so I'll be unplugging it and rebooting it in just a minute. So just to let you know, I can't be in charge with home base via the internets. Hi, Gene in Fort Collins. Welcome, and thank you for joining us on AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk. Good morning.
Good morning, Aaron. How are you doing today?
I am well, and you?
Oh, I'm doing great.
Good.
You know, I was waking up this morning, and the two callers ago, there was a guy talking about the economic situation and the, you know, the free market capitalism and all that stuff, how it's just a failed concept. And it brought to mind something that I wanted to talk about, something that I had read. I'm a big science fiction buff. I've been reading science fiction for years, and I've found that some of the most prophetic things have come out of there. And, you know, it's amazing how much of that stuff is reflected in reality 10, 15, 20 years down the road. And I read a series that was written, I guess about 20 years ago, by a guy named Kim Stanley Robinson. And it was a series of books about the terraforming of Mars and the creation of a new society on Mars of humans who went there, fell in love with the planet, went through their own struggles of trying to terraform it for Earth, but then realizing, hey, this is our place. We're going to do it for ourselves, and in the process, having to discover a new form of government and a new way of doing things, because the old model wasn't working. Back on Earth, the huge, what's happening now is it's almost like the guy had a view into the future, because it was, 20 years from now when this book took place, or at least the beginning of it, and the big corporations basically ruled the planet, and they became multinational, and it was all about money and capitalism, and it was just, there was a tiered class structure where there was the poverty stricken and then the ultra rich, and it was overpopulation.
See, but the reality is our government, our system is not free market capitalism. Is it actually rigged to help the rich succeed?
Well, yeah, exactly. But what he gets at in this book, and maybe I'm getting a little off topic here, but what he gets at in this book is we need to get to a different basis of wealth. Going back to the earliest times of human history, but back in the beginning, everything's based on labor. It still is today. But once you had the warrior and the priest class come along, they accumulated the wealth of the laborers, and then made it their right to determine who got the wealth.
Power, yeah.
But
yeah,
in actuality, the wealth is created by the laborers.
Of course it is, which is why when you think of Atlas Shrugged and you think of that nonsense that Ayn Rand wrote about that valley in Colorado, which seems very enticing. Wow, we're all going to go live where people are all smart and they're all effective and they're all good. But the reality is, it's not those people that makes the world go round. You're right. It's everyday people going to work every day and supporting the entire economy on our shoulders. Witness what just happened over this holiday season. People didn't show up to shop by 35% or so down in sales. And it's killing. It's going to drive a number of big companies out of business. It is just, it's really astounding. But we have been carrying this economy on our shoulders two-thirds of us. You know, consumer spending was two-thirds of the success of this economy. And as you say, it's people shopping, it's people working, it's people going to show up to, it's John going to work every day to operate the board. It's me work cobbling together as many freelance jobs as I can. And then going out and saying, okay, what do my nephews need? What can I, you know, get for my sister? What experience can I share? You know, I went to a knitting store the other day when I got out of here, rather on Saturday, and it was like it was just amazing. No one was there, and yet they had, you could obviously tell they hadn't had enough sales. But that's what keeps the world going around. Me buying stuff at this mom and pop store in order to make stuff for my family. Do you know what I'm saying? It really became apparent to me on a very down home grassroots level just how much we all depend upon each other to keep each other going. You know, it's that woman when she goes out to turn in on the radio who tells, you know, her family to listen. It's my listeners who I write every week to tell them, you know, when I'm going to be on air. You know, it's all of those. And then you patronizing the radio station. I mean, I know I'm using a model that's very reflective of where I am at the moment. But, you know, on the other hand, that is what makes the world go round. And they forgot that. They just went, let's sell stuff on their backs and let's create magic on their backs. Let's just make stuff up.
Yeah, and this goes back so far that it takes a complete restructuring of the way we think, and you know,
but
putting
the
laborers in charge of their own destiny and say, okay, you make this stuff, you decide where it's going to go, create collectives of laborers to determine what happens with the product of their labor, and it's a group determination, and therefore they're in charge of their destiny. You know, mm-hmm. And so you're cutting out that corporation. That corporation doesn't need to exist, kind of like a true democracy, but on little modular levels where, you know, you have the trades, you have these groups of people who do certain things. And
well, definitely we should
whatever,
be using those models to buy health insurance and to be able, you know, we should be doing all, we look, the reality is recent studies in biology have really struck home to me two things. One is, people want to be happy and seek being happy, and people who are happier are healthier. And that, by the way, usually has absolutely nothing, skata, nada, to do with money. It has to do with the happiness has to do with your family context, with the groups, with your interaction, with the satisfaction of your work. It doesn't have to do with pillaging and becoming a military industrial complex, okay?
Yeah.
The other thing is man by his nature is social. Is social. And so we actually are like flocks of birds. We want to interact with each other. We need to. It's almost as if we are driven to. So the reality that we have totally disappeared from the herd mentality is nonsense when we watch something like that shopping horror over the Thanksgiving holiday happens. But it also, in its goodness, it can show you what happens when people turn out in droves at the Ronald McDonald House in Denver over this Christmas holiday to turn out to cook and make their holidays happier for families who come to Colorado for medical treatment.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like those farmers up in, I think about those farmers up in northern Colorado, where was it, Windsor, who opened up their fields, and how many people showed up? 15,000, 40,000 people show up to go get vegetables?
Yeah, that was pretty.
That is just that awesome. I'm almost crying thinking about that. You know, that also because I happen to be from Nunn, Colorado, you know, which is from a small town where if you did not, you know, my grandfather knew what it was like to have to go hide out in his pickup truck to avoid people who were going to foreclose on his land. And you know what? The townspeople of Nunn never ratted him out. And you know what? I don't think the bankers from Alt looked real hard for him either, to tell you the truth. But he used to go out and he would get a truckload of books from the public library and drive around so that he could avoid being foreclosed upon. You know, so we know what it's like. You know, we're just a generation or two from, or three, from the Depression. And so, you know, I remember vividly my father telling me about my grandfather walking out in the field after a 15-minute hailstorm, basically took out the family's economic survival for a year. You know, just boom, hailstorm, 15 minutes, your livelihood is gone. No wonder I think the entertainment business is fun. So anyway, he says, you know, but walking around, he'd look around, he'd look at my father and he'd say, you know what, son, it's going to be a Bull Durham year. Meaning, we're going to be so broke that I'm going to roll my own and not buy store-bought cigarettes. So, but it's that kind of, those are the kinds, I remember the town of Nun banding together through crisis after crisis. That's I think, where we really are. And that's what I think, that's why I think Barack Obama was so appealing to all of this. And that's why I think people are finally rebelling against the nonsense perpetrated by Ronald Reagan and others saying, it's the individual survival of the fittest, that's all we care about. It's not, is
yeah.
it?
Well, you know, my history is, and John knows this, I've owned a brewery in Oregon, and I used to, it was a small brew pub, made my own beer, and just a small little community pub. Felt like Cheers, you know, everyone came together there and hung out, and it was just a small mom-and-pop operation. I did everything. My wife helped, and it was just the two of us.
Cool.
And, you know, just a real small little place. We didn't make a fortune. We just made enough to pay the bills, and but we were happy. We had a good life, had a lot of, you know, our place was like the place for everyone, to like-minded people to come together and sit around and talk over a couple of good beers.
That's great. And you know what? I'm running out of time for this segment, but I'd really love to hear more from you. Will you please call in again this week?
If I get an opportunity to. Yeah, my hours have changed, so it makes it a little tough. But I would
If you can, closing thought then before I jump to traffic?
Yeah. We're just, you know, working on forming another one of those collective group hubs here in Fort Collins here in the next couple, 6 months or so.
Keep us posted. And if I still drank beer, I'd come by and sound good. I don't, but I wish you well.
All right, thank you.
Thank you. 718 it is. Make that. I'm Aaron Hart filling in on the J. Marvin Show. Welcome. Thank you all for joining us. And it's time for Progressive Traffic and John Turk. Hi, this is Aaron Hart on AM 760 Colorado's Progressive Talk. And Tyrone sparked quite a discussion in some of the email. And if you'd like to write the show while I'm on air, you can either send it to your normal instant messages. John forwards them to me, or write Aaron at AaronHartShow.com. And if you do write Aaron at AaronHartShow.com, let me know in the email if you'd like to be on my mailing list, and I'll let you know. I'm also working with learning Facebook, which I've got to remember to update my status before I come in. It's 22 past the hour. I also want to play Barack the Magic Negro for you. Doug in Westminster, welcome. I wanted to take your call first, and then we'll play that and talk about Barack the Magic Negro. You can't imagine. The right wing is just really sad.
Hi,
seriously,
sweetie.
Sad. Hello, Doug.
How are ya?
I'm swell. You?
Oh, I'm just fine over here.
Good. Nice to hear from you.
Yeah, go ahead and play that song, and then why don't we all collectively make up a couple of our own? Like, we can jerk with Sununu's name, right?
Yeah.
Or we could pick on Boehner, which ain't really pronounced that way, other things like that. How's this mutt, Lymph Node, getting away with this?
Lymph Node? Well, Lymph Node didn't do it this time. Apparently it's the guy who wants to be the head of the new Republican National Committee. I mean, you want to even French fry Newt Gingrich, who used to foment hate with the Contract on America. Remember him?
Oh, yeah.
I do.
Oh, yeah.
But anyway, this is the guy who's from the RNC and the WallStreetJournal.com. I had to laugh today because everybody else is going, Barack the Magic Negro is back. But they use the headline, fight for RNC chairmanship heats up, because they don't want to say actually Chip Salzman, who was the campaign manager for Mike Huckabee, apparently sent out a holiday CD with a bunch of parody songs that vilify the left. And the 41-track parody CD, can you imagine 41 tracks? They are so, and you know what? I'll bet you none of them are funny, because one thing that's sad about the right wing is that they're really, really, really bad at parody. That's why all of their attempts to try to take on Jon Stewart, I mean, they're so bad that Stephen Colbert had to become a fake conservative in order to outdo them at parody and fun, because they don't have fun. They don't like to laugh. They basically are angry, and this is going to be me scapegoating, Tyrone, just to let you know, mostly angry white men who are really angry, angry, angry about everything and willing to make themselves into victims about everything. And I don't mean to include all black men or white men in any specific group, but these guys are particularly sad. Well, in addition to Barack the Magic Dragon, by the way, it features We Hate the USA, Right Place, Wrong Pastor, you can get the drift, Star Spanglish Banner. Gee, I wonder if that's against Latinos.
No way.
You think?
Well, you know,
let's just piss off everyone who didn't vote for us last election and see if we can get to come along behind us now.
Oh, I got friends of mine that are real hardcore pubs, and they're just pissed at the world. And a couple of them in particular, they say they go home every night and pray that the country will fall apart with him holding the reins.
Well, it already did under their guy. So.
Yeah, but when you tell them that, they go, oh, no. It's like, nah, shut up.
You know,
That's all you do, just tell them to shut up.
I wonder, Doug, did they get a gene that sort of just said, I will be in denial, I will not believe anything that's before my eyes?
Actually, they did. Yeah. You know, it's been on this station quite a few times in the past where they've done brain studies, and they found out some little chemical that either they have or don't have, which makes them basically like a sheep. They don't like to see the outlook on things. They just say, well, whatever they said is good. So that's them. But, I mean, seriously now, let's get down to seriousness here. If they're going to run this Barack song and maybe a couple other of their all-time classic hits, you know, why don't we play the game?
Exactly.
I know it's lowering, but let's play the game.
But you see, if we play the game, though, we're going to get more of the same. We're not going to get the hope that Barack Obama is trying to inspire in it. Isn't that true?
This is true. Absolutely. But the flip coin is you can embarrass them just as bad and let the reactionary measures get out there. And then you can just say, all right, now, there you go, you mutts. Now, why don't you knock it off?
Yeah,
I'm all for jabbing. I'm a jabber, you know. I'll get in anybody's face if they want to play. I could have a fun time with this kind of stuff, so.
Well, I've been a bit pugilistic with the verbiage myself, but I don't know, Doug. I think we all kind of long. See, I long for a pithy, fun, parody-filled, laughing at stupidity kind of world, but I don't know whether I want to attack people just because of who they are or what they believe. That gets, I don't know. I just don't understand. Most right-wing conservatives, you could tell them, and I've been telling them for the better part of the years I've been on radio, is all of them, actually, because I did not like certain talk show hosts have a midlife conversion. Oh, I really am a liberal. I've been one for my entire working and my whole life.
Must be talking about
Matthews. Yeah. Well, no, actually, I wasn't only talking about Matthews. I was talking about Ed Schultz is who I had in mind. Ed Schultz used to be a right-wing conservative host.
Oh, yeah, big time.
Yeah. So, no, that's actually who I had in mind. But
well, ye shall wake up and see the light, say
yes, sir. I've actually had talk show host program director, not the one who works at the station this is owned by, but who said, I'd give you a full-time job if you'll convert to conservative. And, you know, my favorite line is always, and you've probably heard it before, is I can't talk and gag at the same time.
All right, kid, I'll let you go. Get somebody else out here, play that song, and I'll rap at you tomorrow.
All right, Doug, thanks so much for your call. 303-713-7600. Good to hear from all of you, old friends and new. 303-713-7600. I would love to talk to you, particularly if you've never, ever, ever called talk radio before, and particularly if you disagree with me. I always like to hear from people who disagree with me as well, like Tyrone, who stepped up to the plate last hour. 303-713-7600. I'm Aaron Hart, filling in on the J. Marvin Show. Hey, John, let's play that horrifying parody song, Barack, the Magic Negro, shall we? This is really hateful. Wait till you hear this.
This is the site of my conception. I am the fruits of your labor. I am the offspring of the movement. So when people ask me whether I've been to Selma before, I tell them I'm coming home.
Barack, the magic Negro, lives in D.C. The L.A. Times, they call him that 'cause he's not authentic like me. Yeah, the guy from the L.A. paper said he made guilty whites feel good. They'll vote for him and not for me 'cause he's not from the hood. See, real black men like Snoop Dogg or me or Farrakhan have talked the talk and walked the walk, not coming late and won. Oh, Barack, the magic Negro, lives in D.C. The L.A. Times, they called him that 'cause he's black but not authentically. Barack, the magic Negro, lives in D.C. The L.A. Times,
folks, they called him that, 'cause he's black but not authentically.
Some say Barack's articulate and bright and new and clean. The media sure love this guy, a white interloper's dream. But when you vote for president, watch out and don't be fooled. Don't vote the magic Negro in, 'cause I won't have nothing after all these years of sacrifice. And I won't get justice. This is about justice. This is about me. It's about justice. It's about buffet. I'm not having no buffets. There's not going to be any church contribution.
And just in case you missed it, this week there was a tragedy in Kansas. 10,000 people died.
You just really don't know what to say, right? You just want to throw a shoe at the head of whoever perpetrated that fraud. In this case, it was Chip Salzman. Oh, please elect him as chairman of the RNC. He'd be the perfect antidote to Howard Dean. I'm sure he'd be really good at his job since he has such a tin ear for U.S. politics. 303-713-7600 and not a good ear at all for funny parody humor. Can't say enough bad about it. 7:31, excuse me, I need to put my little post, obviously, unconsciously, I need to put my post-it over my time clock. 7:32, I'm Aaron Hart, filling in on the J. Marvin Show this morning. An hour behind, but a day late, and not a day late and a dollar short. Definitely not. Okay, 303-713-7600, love to talk to you on the J. Marvin Show. John Turk standing by with Progressive Traffic. Hit it, John.
Some say Barack's articulate and bright and new and clean. The media sure love this guy, a white interloper's dream. But when you vote for president, watch out and don't be fooled. Don't vote the magic Negro in, 'cause
this is the worst. I mean, they just are the worst. It's 6:37. I'm Aaron Hart. You just, I know this is a parody that was done before on Rush Limbaugh's show. Thank goodness it didn't work. Thank goodness most people looked at our choices this year and went, I'm voting for Barack Obama. That's supposed to be, by the way, the Reverend Al Sharpton. Couldn't you immediately tell? Wow. See, memo to right-wing conservatives, for parody to be good, it has to have a remote foundation in truth. And since much of that absolutely does not, and even when you used words like, say, that Joe Biden came perilously close to talking about, in order to be funny, it has to be grounded in reality, and it has to be funny. So that's why so many of you are frozen out, just so Breitbart understands, because Breitbart.com is now going, we're going to morph into a culturally conservative site, and we're going to get movie stars, and, you know, who besides Bruce Willis are you going to get? Like, aren't there four people in Hollywood, basically? They make bad movies like Red Dawn. At least Bruce Willis has the good sense to hang around with liberals when he's making movies. But it's just like, Paul Shanklin, parodist, frequently airs on Limbaugh's show. It's like, yeah, it's racist. I think it's pretty safe to say that it's close to racist. And the other thing is, Mike Duncan, who's the current party chairman, says, I'm shocked and appalled. At least there's some right-wing Republicans who still have a brain in their head. Newt Gingrich says, this is so inappropriate, it would disqualify any Republican National Committee candidate who would use it. There are no grounds for demeaning him or for using racist descriptions. So it looks like maybe party chairman from Tennessee, Chip Salzman, last seen trailing Mike Huckabee everywhere he went. Huckleberry Hound. Oh, God. It's just really sad, isn't it? It's pathetic. And the other thing is, it's bad parody. Bad humor alert. Bad. The reason you guys don't get as many jobs in the entertainment business is because you suck at this. 303-713-7600. You just can't do it. The only person who can do a good right-wing conservative parody is Stephen Colbert, who is not one in real life. Peter in Arvada, welcome to AM 760 Colorado's Progressive Talk. Good morning.
Good morning, Aaron. Aside from that being totally disgusting, what I'm hoping is that we'll see some editorials in the local paper also denouncing that. But what
well,
I wanted
let's
to
hope
you,
so. There are a couple of bloggers. I wouldn't hold my breath.
No. But what I wanted to call you about, just really quickly, over the holidays, I'm run into a nest of conservatives all upset about the Barack's going to take away their guns. And I just mentioned to them, I said, well, what did you think about Katrina when we brought in a mercenary force and took guns away? I didn't hear a thing from the NRA screaming on that. And you know what? It kind of shut them up, and they just really didn't have an answer for that. And nobody brings that up, that, you know, hey, we've had our guns taken away, and where is the NRA now?
George Bush has violated every single tenet of what it was like to be a right-wing conservative, and they're so mad at him, they're like frothing at the mouth. Even right-wing conservatives can't wait for him to get out of office, because he and Dick Cheney both have vivisected the Constitution, destroyed the economy, basically made it perfectly clear that they don't care about government and will run it as incompetently or as scandalously as possible. Witness, hi, let's go snort some coke off a toaster oven while we're working for the Interior Department. Okay, I mean, it's like, what kind of, it's like they have violated. Now there's a new story out, MSNBC, just a headline from the Washington Post, just carried teenage sexuality ban, you know, the virginity ban. I'm going to be a virgin for the rest of my natural life. Guess what? It doesn't work. Hello? What 14-year-old in the country doesn't know that? Raise your hand. Okay, now can we move on from this idiocy, please? That's why I hesitate to criticize Barack Obama for the Rick Warren decision, but I got to call him like I see him. I got to be an honest talk show host. If I weren't an honest talk show host, I would have converted to the dark, pretended to convert to the dark side and have a full-time job. No. It's like, but I can't talk and gag at the same time. So there. Oh, well. So Peter, what do we say to people who, I mean, is there any way of bringing them over to, do you think that Barack Obama is right that we have to reach out and touch them and to bring them into the fold, metaphorically speaking, of course?
You know, I think that's absolutely true, because we've had such a division in the last 8 years. It's like we have to at least try that. And I think that we have somebody who's got the political savvy to pull it off. So, you know, I sit here and I kind of, you know, some of the nominations, I'm going like, oh, you know, oh, geez, like, you know, and then I'm thinking, well, wait a minute, those nominations are going to come up for confirmation, and all we've got to do is get on the phone at that moment and call in and say yes or no, and we can have a voice in the confirmation also, rather than just sitting here and saying, oh, God, I don't know about that one, you know. Well,
yeah.
We still have a voice.
Yeah. It's just really sad. I agree, and I think we have to do some rapprochement. I do, for the rest of the country, for the vast middle that doesn't want to be partisanly fighting, except maybe to throw mashed potatoes at each other's heads at dinner parties. You know what I mean? But at family dinner parties, because that's where most of us interact with our right wing conservative counterparts. But mine happen to be down in South America at the moment, so I'm not throwing mashed potatoes at their head at the moment. But it's just really, it's hard though to stomach some of what he is saying we need to do. Do you know what I mean? I want don't ask, don't tell gone. I want so many things gone from the right-wing reactionaries who've been charging our, and in all fairness, Clinton is the one who brokered that moron deal.
Yep.
but it is, I want health care fixed. I want the education system to be revamped. I mean, all of us have so many expectations. We're just going to have to work hard to tamper them and go for reality base. And we're going to talk about that a little this week on what can we truly get. Thank you very much for your call. I appreciate it. And Happy New Year. Calvin in Denver, welcome to AM 760 Colorado's Progressive Talk, if I can get my mouth to work. Good morning.
Boy, are you fired up this morning.
I know.
What
it's
kind
amazing
of coffee
what happened.
Did you drink?
and did I drink Charbucks today? No, I drank Seattle's blend from Costco.
Oh, okay.
Mountain blend.
Alrighty. Well, I woke up to your voice this morning, and you were having a little debate between an African-American guy about Proposition 8 and whether black people caused it to pass in the state of California. So I am a black gay man.
I did not say that, by the way. I just quoted the statistics of how many people in the community allegedly turned out to vote that way. In other words, of the voters who turned out to vote who happened to be African-American, Frank Rich says they went 70% for Prop 8. His website, blackagendareport.com, says 57%. I don't care which it is. I still disagree with their decision to vote that way.
So if you dig into it a little bit deeper, I'm a black man. I lived in San Francisco for 22 years. Mm-hmm. I actually am the former president of San Francisco's Gay Pride Parade, LGBT Pride Parade, which is the largest event in the state of California.
And one of the most amazing in the country. Woo!
Yes, and a black man from Denver, Colorado, produced four of those parades. I produced the parades from 1999 to 2003.
Good man,
and
Kelly.
And the community selected me as Grand Marshal. So as a black person, I've been right smack in the middle of the politics of the gay community. And the challenge, the reason I called in is because you made a mistake that I think is common between gay people, and that is to make a direct comparison between the gay civil rights struggle and struggle for equality
equality. I did not. First of all, I said black people should understand people who are downtrodden for who they are, but I did not equate it because I think the discrimination against African Americans is in a whole different kind of level. Although homosexuals over history, gays over history, have been treated very, very badly in many cultures, and it is different because, for one thing, I can tell you're African American by looking at you, Calvin, but I can't tell whether or not you're gay.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? Yes, so, yes. Theoretically speaking, at least, you can hide in plain sight. Not that you should have to. But no, it's like discrimination against women. I put in a different way. It's all different in its own way.
And that's what I wanted to hear because a lot of times they're all.
I'm glad you called
because
I want to correct that. Yeah, it's not all lumped in together.
Even if you say something like you should know how it feels to be discriminated against, like you said, black people cannot hide the fact that they're black, so they have to deal with discrimination.
Well, and I can't hide the fact, for an example, that I'm a woman. Do you know what I mean? I happen to be a Euro-American woman, but you know, the reality is, you can tell. The reality is too. Like, for example, I'm Jewish, so you can't tell I'm Jewish by looking at me necessarily.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
But there are things that are different. However, anti-Semitism is wrong, bigoted, and terrifying, and has been perpetrated. It's like you can't compare the Holocaust to different. You know,
exactly.
It is just different, and I agree with you that the experience is different. But here's what I wanted to ask you regarding my statement that you should understand, because many people tell. We believe that in the Jewish community, and we also get told that, too, is we should understand because we have been persecuted, right? Mm-hmm. So what, and people tell me that because I'm a woman, too. You should understand because of this. I mean, I had people yell at me because I didn't support Hillary Clinton, and I was like, yeah, but that's part of the reason I have a choice and I can vote is so that I can make up my own mind about who I want to support, and I like Barack Obama. So, but given all of that, you should understand this because, right? I was going to ask you because somebody said something, and I forget who it was. That's why I'm hesitating here for a minute. But someone very wise said that the reality is that, I know it was an African-American pundit, and she said that she understood why Rick Warren was picked. And I was like, what? I mean, she's a liberal, right? So I went, what? And she went, well, because we have had to work hard at understanding the larger point of view so often that we're more used to letting people who don't agree with us into the tent.
Yes.
Now, I thought that made a lot of sense to me. Mm-hmm. And I think women are like that, too, in part because we're, you know, stereotypically nurturers. And, you know, you don't tell your son, I'm sorry, you're gay, get out of my house. Although there are some mothers who have done that, right? But...
Yeah.
But on the other hand, I think we all need to. I don't care what color you are or what sex you are. We all should work harder to understand somebody else's point of view. My particular challenge, Calvin, is to try to understand right wingers. You know what? I want to let you speak back to me, and I'm up against a break. Can you hold on, and I'll bring you back on the other side, Calvin?
Sure.
Great. Great. Thank you so much. I'm Aaron Hart. This is AM 760 Colorado's Progressive Talk. As usual, I ran off a little at the mind there. It's 7:50. I'm Aaron Hart, filling in on the J. Marvin Show. It's 303-713-7600. Time for Progressive Traffic and John Turk coming up. Damien and everyone else, hang in until next hour. I'm Aaron Hart, filling in for J. Marvin. Calvin, as the chairman of the San Francisco Gay Pride Parade from 99 to 03, I want to know, in terms of all of this controversy over the picking of Rick Warren to do, given what we said right before the break about coming to the table with people who you do not agree with, do you think Barack Obama did the right thing?
Well, at first I was on the bandwagon, like, oh, we're against Rick Warren and all of that, until I actually read the interview where he actually conducted, where he compared the gay community to pedophiles and all of that type of stuff. And in that same interview, he said that he is for civil unions. The challenge that he has is with the word marriage, because he sees that as a religious
institution. Term.
Mm-hmm. And but he also said in that same article that divorce does more harm to this country than homosexuality.
Well, thanks for enlightening us. Unfortunately, we're running out of time, though, Calvin. Please call back.
Alrighty.
Have a lovely time. I'm Aaron Hart. This is AM 760 Colorado's Progressive Talk. I'm sorry that we're short on time. Dang it. It's my bad. I should have timed it better. All right, we'll be back with more of your phone calls coming up on 303-713-7600. This is Aaron Hart's version of J. Marvin Show.